The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. In the evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand toward Peter and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Noted theologian Scott Hahn often says of the Bible's Old and New Testament that the new is concealed in the old and the old is revealed in the new. In other words, elements of the New Testament, especially the prophecies about Jesus and his works, are hinted at in the Old Testament, the Hebrew text. And in the New Testament, the meaning of what was written in the Hebrew text is made clear and fulfilled by Jesus. Scott Hahn is saying that the Old and the New Testaments are tightly interconnected. Today's first reading is a good example of this. King Ahab and his wife Jezebel are hunting Elijah down to put him to death. So Elijah flees into the desert, where an angel of the Lord tells him to go up to Mount Horeb. There, he's told that he will see God. When someone sees God, it's called a theophany, or the manifestation of God. Elijah sees God on Mount Horeb. Now, another name for Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is the mountain where Moses saw God, where Moses had his theophany. So both Elijah and Moses see God on the same mountain. About 1,000 years later, on another mountain, Mount Tabor, Peter, James, and John have a theophany when they see Jesus' transfiguration, when they see Jesus manifested as God. And who comes to speak with Jesus? Moses and Elijah. The same two who saw God on another mountain. Interesting connection, isn't it? It's just one of hundreds of connections of the Old and New Testament that are plainly seen if you just do some research. You know, much of our faith requires us to look and to listen, to be attentive to what God is quietly telling us. Most times God speaks to us quietly and in an unexpected way, similar to the way God spoke to Elijah today. But sometimes, more rarely, very rarely actually, God communicates in a much more dramatic and clear way. Sometimes, like St. Paul, we're certainly knocked to our knees. Sometimes, despite seeing
so clearly and dramatically, we still don't get it. Think of the apostles. Last week, we read that they saw Jesus' transfiguration. They saw him manifest as God. They saw a theophany. They saw Jesus in his full glory. They saw Moses and Elijah appear and speak with him in the sky. They even heard the voice of God say, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." But they didn't get it. In today's gospel, they see Jesus walk on water after he had just fed 5,000. And they still don't get it. Even though they say, "Truly, you are the Son of God," they still don't get it. Now, we shouldn't be too hard on the apostles for their lack of faith or lack of belief, because unfortunately, many of us act the same way as they do. What is it about our human nature that causes us to forget so quickly what we know is the truth? What is it about us that causes us sometimes even to deny what we know is true? What is it about us that causes us to act in a way that we shouldn't, even though we know better? Is it fear? Is it peer pressure? Is it a fear to, "Oh, you're a Catholic," and standing out and looking like you're weird? Is it just stubbornness or lack of faith? Are we, as Moses called the Hebrews, a stiff-necked people? You know, when I was a kid, I heard this gospel, and I thought I'd give it a try. That is, walk on water. I really had the faith that God would keep me from sinking. So I went to the local pool and jumped into the deep end. And immediately I began to drown because I forgot that I didn't know how to swim. Talk about faith. I'll never forget as I bobbed up and down trying to not drown. And the lifeguard was right above me with his arms crossed, probably looking at the girl swimming on the other side of the pool. Somehow, I made it up and coughed up about a gallon of chlorinated water. And I wondered, why couldn't I walk on water? Was it that I had too little faith? After all, St. Peter did it. If he could do it, I could do it. At least he did it a little bit. Why couldn't I? Okay, so please excuse the thinking of a child, but what is exactly Jesus telling us in today's gospel? Is he implying to Peter and to us that if we have faith, we can do impossible things, like walking on water? The only one I've ever known for sure that walked on water was Jesus. So what does this mean for us? I think what Jesus is telling us is to have faith despite what we feel is impossible. To have faith even if we can't see a way out of a situation. And that sometimes we have to be put through a dire situation like what happened to Elijah, Moses, and Peter to maybe test our faith and ultimately maybe strengthen our faith. You know, the events in the church, in our country, and around the world in the past few years has truly tested our faith. Perhaps we're thinking, what's this all about? Why is this happening? God, what do you want from us? What do I do? I think today's first reading gives us an example of what to do. The first reading shows us how God often guides us. That is, if we have faith. Now, faith is certainly a gift. It's a gift from God. But it's also an act of the will. Just like love, you have to will faith. You have to want to have faith. We have to want to believe. That's why God has given us free will to believe. To use it to believe and love him and to love one another. Now in the first reading, Elijah is being hunted to be killed. He's scared, and he runs into the desert in fear and desperation. But eventually, he musters up the faith that somehow God will show him the way, and he listens for God. I once heard a wise man say that I used to pray when I was a kid to listen to God. And then when I matured in my faith, I prayed to listen that, I'm sorry, I used to pray as a kid that God would listen to me. And then when I got older, I prayed to listen to God. And now, I listen for God. I pray to listen for God. Because God speaks to us in ways that are often unexpected. God speaks to Elijah, remember, not in a strong wind, not in an earthquake, not in a fire, but in a slight, silent sound. And the minute Elijah heard that, he knew it was God, and he prostrated himself on the ground. God can speak to us in the voice of a child, in the pages of a book, in the faces of the hungry and the homeless. Like Elijah and Moses, despite our fear and doubt, we must have faith that God will guide us. That God will, as Jesus did to Peter, pull us out of the water when we're drowning. But we also must understand that God will do these things in God's way and in God's time. God speaks to us not in the way that we want, but in the way that God wants. And that's hard for us sometimes to accept. But all we need is the will to want to listen for what God is telling us, to have the patience to wait for God's guidance, and most importantly, to have the faith to follow what we hear.